Case is submitted. We'll hear argument next to number 86964, David Thompson versus Susan Thompson. Mr. Weiss, you may proceed whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court. What we have here is a question as to whether the Paternal Kidnapping Prevention Act of 1980, which is 28 U.S. 1738A, furnishes a private cause of action and a federal court to determine which of two sister states' conflicting custody decrees has failed to comply with the jurisdiction requirements of what I'll call the PKPA. The primary issue of all the reported cases appears to be the congressional intent. Since there's neither an express jurisdiction or a prohibition against it, the question is whether there is an implied intent to give a private cause of action. Before we get to that particular point, I feel that it's appropriate to discuss the background of the PKPA itself in order to determine what congressional intent was. First, I think we'd have to recognize and discuss what the problem was as Congress saw it. In joint hearing before the Subcommittee on Criminal Justice, Senator Malcolm Wallop stated as follows: every year, between 25,000 and 100,000 children of broken marriages are kidnapped by a parent attempting forcefully to obtain custody over a child living with the other one. The emotional cost of child snatching, which must be borne in large measure by young persons who have already watched their parents' marriage fail and their family split asunder, is overwhelming. What the Congress saw was 25,000 to 100,000 cases of people who were unhappy with custody decrees of one state, taking the children from that state and fleeing to other states and obtaining custody decrees. In that situation, there was either no enforcement or little enforcement due to the cost involved in traveling to the new state. These are real problems. In my case, my client hasn't seen his son in 7 years. This court had a case similar to this on a different legal issue in front of it last term, the Simoleon case. In that case brought to this court, the issue was in a writ of extradition, which the California Supreme Court did not honor, the writ being issued by the state of Louisiana. The rationale given by the Supreme Court of California was that there could not have been a criminal act because Mr. Simoleon, who was a deputy public defender, in San Bernardino, had a valid California custody order. This court held that the writ of extradition had to be upheld, and Mr. Simoleon now is free from the Louisiana court on a $20,000 bond and faces a criminal trial in less than 2 weeks. This is the type of issue that Congress wanted to address and wanted to solve.
Mr. Weiss, yes. In your application here and your presentation of the question to us, you appear to have raised only the issue of whether there is an implied cause of action on behalf of your client under this federal act, right?
Yes, Your Honor. I'm sorry.
You did not raise below or raise in your cert petition, I gather, that there is federal question jurisdiction in any event, quite apart from any implied cause of action.
Well, we raised under 28 U.S. 1331 that there is federal jurisdiction.
You raised the issue of whether there was federal question jurisdiction,
federal question
quite
jurisdiction.
Apart from an implied cause of action?
Yes, we did, Justice.
You didn't present that question to us in the cert petition, did you?
I don't believe we did, no.
No.
We raised
and yet
it.
Most of the cases below dealing with this question have gone off on the theory of federal question jurisdiction, its existence or the lack of it.
Existence or lack of it, but most of the cases, as I read them, dealt with the implied provision as opposed to the actual because of the fact that it's a state cause of action.
Well, isn't that a form of federal question
that
jurisdiction,
is a form of federal
an
question.
Implied cause of action?
Yes, Chief Justice.
Well, I have the same concern Justice O'Connor has. Did you raise Section 1331 jurisdiction in so many words below anywhere?
Yes, we raised it in our original complaint to the lower court.
Did the courts below deal with that?
As I recall, the lower court just summarily dismissed it, saying that there was no jurisdiction whatsoever because it was within a domestic relation exception. And the court, the Ninth Circuit Court, held that there was no implied intent on Congress to create a federal cause of action, and further held that the domestic relation exception was involved herein. Those were the two holdings of the Ninth Circuit. The next thing that I think should be looked at is what did Congress do, or what approach did they take once they defined the problem? Quoting Senator McGovern in the Congressional Record at Senate page 758 on January 23, 1979, he states that the PKA will cause all states will be required to enforce, with very few modifications allowed, the custody decree of the state that has jurisdiction according to the provisions of the bill. At present, a parent can take a child, flee to another state, and begin court proceedings in that state to regain custody. For several reasons, custody is usually granted. States treasure their independence to make such decisions. The other parent is not present to make a case, and the absconding parent may be surrounded by supporters willing to testify on his or on her behalf. Under this bill, the kidnapping parent could not be granted custody of the children by any other state court. This provision would serve to deter a possible child napper from taking the child across state lines, as there would be no hope of gaining custody of the child in another state.
But that's quite consistent with the Ninth Circuit's majority's view that what this is a rule of the PPKA is a rule of decision for state courts, like the FVLA, rather than creating a separate cause of action in federal court.
Yes, Mr. Chief Justice. If you read it literally, the problem is the act itself speaks in a positive, affirmative manner. The state shall. They shall do this to obtain jurisdiction. They shall not modify if this exists. It shall. If you take the word shall with the senator's belief that the states cannot grant custody under this act, I think it's reasonable to interpret that he meant that this should be a federally enforced act.
All that means is that clear that was this the Louisiana court? Is that the one that
yes.
that the Louisiana court made a mistake that could be corrected by coming up through the state system?
That's one of the arguments raised, that a person should travel to the other state court and go through the state system. That creates a couple of problems. One is you got the practical problem of the total lack of following of the PKPA. The second is it's almost an impractical problem for most people involved because of the cost. The third problem is that the going to the other state, you submit to their jurisdiction. If you read the UCCJAs in like Louisiana, you submit to their jurisdiction, and then you have a difficult time in challenging the UCCJA of Louisiana.
Well, the legislative history, though, is really pretty clear, isn't it, that Congress directly considered this and recognized the problem and simply decided to go slowly in this area and not to make it a matter of federal question jurisdiction.
Well, there was discussion of federal.
You seldom see a legislative history this clear, I think.
There was some discussion by Senator Cranston referring to the attention of being directed at the problem in the federal level. There was some discussion by Congressman Duncan to that effect. There was nothing that I read that specifically rejected the concept of federal jurisdiction. Some of the cases talk about Congressman Fish's proposal, but if you look at Congressman Fish's proposal, it's one of five proposals in this area, and it's the only proposal that suggests that the federal courts take jurisdiction to make child custody decisions. It further suggested that we do away with the $10,000 diversity requirement. This was the only proposal that directly talked about federal jurisdiction, but it was rejected because the Congress did not want to burden the federal court with custody determinations. But we're not asking for a custody determination here. What we're asking the federal court to do is to make a determination based on the PKPA as to properly and correctly applied it. I believe the minority decision in Merodal Pharmaceutical versus Thompson said that the federal courts are the best equipped to make a decision or an interpretation of the federal legislation, since they do it on a regular basis, and they further stated the state courts are not as well equipped to do that.
Was this federal suit dismissed for one of personal jurisdiction also?
No, it was not.
Well, how were you going to proceed in California to get jurisdiction over somebody in Louisiana?
Well, the Ninth Circuit addressed that problem and talked about the type of acts that Dr. Clay had committed in the jurisdiction. And they concluded on the following. One, that she and the child had resided there for most of the child's life. Two, that she had made use of the California Superior Court by bringing the domestic action in that court. Three, that Dr. Thompson's request was based on the California decree. And four, that Dr. Clay left the state of California and went to Louisiana and allegedly enforced the California decree there in Louisiana. Based on that analysis, they felt that there was jurisdiction.
To get into California?
The child?
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem that the PKPA can solve. If we don't get federal determination of the construction and who properly applied that, we could travel to Louisiana, as was suggested, and we could go through the whole court. And then Dr. Clay could then move to another state.
In California.
Hopefully with a federal court order that will be obeyed.
What's the order going to be? What kind of order is this?
Well, if it's determined that California was the appropriate jurisdiction and Louisiana is restrained, then California would in all probability issue an arrest warrant like was done in Simoleon by the Louisiana state.
You'd have extradition?
For Dr. Clay, probably.
You'd have extradition?
Yes.
To the federal court?
No, we can do that through the state
court. You don't have extradition in the federal court. You have removal.
See, if the federal court finds...
I just want to know how you're going to get a hold in.
We're going to do it by trying to get the state court to issue a writ of extradition for Dr. Clay, and hopefully she would bring the child rather than go through that. I mean, we've tried self-help. Self-help
is... The only thing we have here is the jurisdiction of the federal court.
That's correct.
But I'm asking you, how can the federal court pick him up in Louisiana and bring him to California?
They can't, but the federal court can determine that California was the proper court for jurisdiction of the custody case. And once they determine that, then California can issue the child stealing warrant.
This is unbelievable to me.
Well, that's...
I guess I went to school too far back. I mean, I thought jurisdiction was on boundary line.
Well, now, as discussed, what the Congress did was they passed the Parental Kidnapping Prevention Act, and they passed it in positive terms. While they state that state courts shall enforce and state courts shall cooperate, they made those mandatory requirements. If the federal court does not take jurisdiction. The federal act, the PKPA, has become nothing but an advisory or an optional act that the states can follow or not follow at their choice.
Well, it's awesome.
I don't think that's entirely true, Mr. Weiss. Take the example of the Federal Employers Liability Act. Suits there are brought under that act in the state courts, but there was a period of time when this court reviewed a number of state court judgments that came up through the state court system, laid down some rules as to what the FELA required, and the state courts henceforth followed those rules. I think the same thing could happen here.
The problem is that the PKPA, if, as some of the writings have suggested, is strictly advisory, or an extension of the UCCJA, then in a lot of states there will be a conflict between the UCCJA and the PKPA.
The PKA is an act of Congress. Is the UCCJA also an act of Congress?
No.
I would think the PPKA would prevail then. One is a state act and the other is an act of Congress.
That would be my assumption, but it would be up to the interpretation of the state court.
Well, not ultimately. As the Chief Justice said, those interpretations, if they are in conflict, can be resolved by the Supreme Court. In other words, there's an intermediate position between saying it's advisory on the one hand, and on the other hand, it's mandatory and enforceable in federal courts. That is, it is mandatory, but enforceable by the state courts, with review of erroneous state courts' decisions by the Supreme Court. Why doesn't that work?
Yeah, I've heard that argument, Justice Scalia, from the Ninth Circuit and from the D.C. most recent case. The problem there is you're dealing with child custody. And you see, if a party steals a child and goes to another state, and we go through your procedure of going to that state and going up through their appellate process and eventually ending up here, four or five years have passed. And it becomes almost a worthless act. I don't mean that in any derogatory sense, but to the person who is pursuing his child, because he has lost all contact with his child. The child doesn't know him. Very few state courts would say, after 5 or 6 years, I'm going to give you custody as a stranger.
You can't presume that every case would be a test case. You can't presume that every case will require resolution by this court. If you presume that generally state courts will follow the governing law, presumably in this case the Louisiana appellate courts would have corrected the error, and that wouldn't have taken 5 or 6 years. Maybe there'll be an exceptional case where there's ambiguity in the law, and this court has to lay down the rule of law, but in most cases, why don't you presume that state judges will obey the law?
Well, in this particular case,
maybe they made a mistake in this one case, but does that mean that they always are going to make mistakes and rule in favor of the local parent?
Well, it's not even a mistake. It's if you look at the UCCJA of Louisiana, it says that you're not supposed to take custody, jurisdiction for custody purposes until the child has been there for a period of 6 months. Looking at the joint appendix.
Well, Mr. Weiss, maybe we just need a test case from Louisiana. But I think for you to make the assumption that no state court is going to apply the Parental Kidnapping Act properly is unwarranted.
I'll agree, and I'm sorry if I made that assumption. My primary concern is that the PKPA sets the federal standard for a jurisdiction and modification of custody acts. And it's a method whereby, if it's applied properly, we will get a uniform standard for jurisdiction between the states. But in order to apply it in a standard manner, in an expeditious manner, in order to create what is necessary in the custody, the immediacy of the custody issues, it has to be determined in a standard way by a court that can bind two state courts. Suppose you get conflicting interpretations of the PKPA. in two different states. You're no different than you are with the UCCJA.
That's why this court sits, to resolve conflicts like that.
I understand that, Justice.
All right.
Well, if you review the minority decision in the Ninth Circuit, Justice Alcorn makes some comments about the failure to recognize a federal jurisdiction. And I think the comments reflect that he found an intent of Congress to create the federal jurisdiction. He says otherwise, it converts an act of Congress into barren rhetoric. The Third District, the Third Circuit said basically the same thing. Why would the Congress from 1973 to 1980 study and attempt to pass legislation on this problem to correct the problem, acknowledge that the problem exists, that the states will not uniformly apply the UCCJA, which is supposed to be a uniform act, and then not give the courts, the federal courts, the ability to enforce it?
Credit stat there in the same way.
Well, full faith, Justice Scalia, the full faith and credit statute is a little different in that the PKPA 1738A sets standards. It says the state shall originally. And
credit statute. Indeed, the full faith and credit provision of the Constitution, which says that each state shall give full faith and credit to the judicial decrees of the other states. Right? And yet, we do not allow for enforcement of that in federal courts.
On the full faith and credit, you also have the problem that this is a child custody determination, and full faith and credit only has to be given to by one state to the other state to the same enforceability that other states argued. By that, if there's a change of circumstances, it can be modifiable. So there's never really a full faith and credit argument.
But that's what Congress sought to change in the PPKA, is it not?
That's, if you take that position, Chief Justice, then what are we going to do with the modifiability aspect of the child custody decision? Because full faith and credit is given to a final judgment. And the child custody judgment is never final because it can be modified all the time.
Well, but here, Congress, as I understand, Congress has said in the PPKA, even though you don't give full faith and even though full faith and credit does not permit you to recognize a custody judgment from another state because it's always subject to modification, we now tell you that you should. Is that a misstatement of what the PPKA says wherever it's to be enforced in federal or state court?
No, it is not, Chief Justice. One last point, since I see the white light is on. The Minodal pharmaceutical case versus Thompson talks about implied jurisdiction. In that case, the majority starts with that there is no implied jurisdiction, and they run the four-prong test of court, C-O-R-T. Now, the court case has been briefed, or the court test has been briefed by myself. I'm starting with page 8. I believe that the minority and majority decision in that case are very close. They both say that the Smith versus Kansas City Trust is an applicable, valid test, and that it should be applied. The difference is the majority found that there was no implied jurisdiction here. I believe if you look at the intent of Congress, there is an implied intent here, and as such, the court should allow the lower federal courts to hear this matter. I have nothing further. Are there any questions, Chief Justice?
Thank you, Mr. Weiss. We'll hear now from you, Mr. Rigby.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, the basic question is the intent of Congress in the Court versus Ashe, Touche Roche, Northwest Airlines, Merrill Lynch, Merrill Dow cases. What was the intention of Congress? Was it to create a private remedy? Now, that private remedy has been interpreted and diagnosed in different terms in terms of federal question jurisdiction, Rogers versus Platt, the Court of Appeals Circuit, in terms of a private cause or right of action in Thompson versus Thompson. Some cases call it a cause of action, some call it a right of action. But the fundamental threshold question is whether Congress intended to create any private remedy, whether it is called federal question jurisdiction or whether it's called a private cause of action.
Well, do you think that's really the correct way of putting it? Isn't it whether Congress intended to create a private cause of action in the federal courts?
That's the way Thompson, the Ninth Circuit, interpreted. The Court of Appeals Circuit in Rogers versus Platt interpreted in terms of whether Congress intended to create federal question jurisdiction.
Well, I know, but do you agree that this federal act would be enforceable in a state court?
Yes, sir, and it was intended to be enforceable in the state court.
How would a parent who claims the benefit of that act get into a state court to enforce it without being able to say that Congress intended me to have the right to enforce this statute in the state court?
Because it is a direction to the appropriate authorities of each state, shall enforce and shall not
but,
modify.
But a parent who claims the benefit of the act would have to be able to get into court.
Yes, sir.
In a state, and be able to say that the federal act intends me to have the right to enforce this in a state court.
Because I think it's...
Is that right?
Yes, sir, that's correct, sir. But it's a question of whether or not Congress intended to create a federal right of action, just a right of action.
All right. So
obviously, Congress intended to create a right of action
in
somebody to enforce its provisions.
Well, is that even right? Isn't the right of action a suit for custody created by state law, and it's merely that the federal law imposes certain standards to be applied in state causes of action?
That may very well be a correct analysis. When you compare it to full faith and credit itself, because this is an addendum to the full faith and credit statute.
But how, in this case, there's been a Louisiana custody order, hasn't there?
Yes, sir.
And if this parent is told you must enforce this act if you have any right under it at all in the Louisiana court, he's going to have to go down there and assert some right under this statute to get that custody order overturned.
Yes, sir.
I understand this discussion, but you don't have a federal cause of action just because you have a federal right. For example, I mean, it's a federal right to have federal law supersede state law, federal preemption, correct?
Right.
That doesn't give me a cause of action to sue for federal preemption. My suit is whatever the state cause of action or other federal cause of action might be, for custody of the child, for tort, for contract, and so forth. And in the course of that suit, I'm entitled to have federal preemption rules applied, right?
That's correct, sir.
So we're talking about here whether there is a cause of action to have the PKPA applied, or rather whether that's just a rule of law which will be applied in other suits, custody and tort, contract, whatever.
Yes, I would agree with that analysis. I was not espousing these analyses by the courts, but in addressing Justice O'Connor's original question about whether it's a jurisdictional issue or a cause of action issue, to point out that differing federal courts have analyzed it differently. It's our position that Congress did not intend that federal courts enforce PKPA except through certiorari to this court after the exhaustion of state remedies.
So I suppose then the answer would be to this person that if you wanted to prevent the issuance of this Louisiana custody decree because of this federal statute, you should have gone to Louisiana at the time and defended on the grounds of the federal statute.
That's right.
And now it's too late.
No, it's not too late.
Well, how will he enforce it now, the statute?
Dr. Thompson can bring an action in the Louisiana court based upon his California decree, contend that the Louisiana court lacked jurisdiction under PKPA to enter its decree, which incidentally
so
was
he will be asserting his right in that action to under the federal statute.
That's correct. And Congress specifically intended, we submit, from a very exhaustive legislative history, that the onus of enforcement of PKPA be placed on the state courts, not the federal courts. If I may, very briefly, there were seven factors that have been outlined, which I believe all members of this court agree upon in one way or the other with respect to discerning congressional intent in this issue. That is, Congress's perception of the law it was shaping or reshaping. Secondly, the problem which Congress perceived it was not being adequately addressed by that law, the language of the statute itself, the legislative history of the statute, the likelihood that Congress intended to supersede or to supplement existing remedies, and whether implication of a federal cause of action is required to accomplish Congress's purpose in enacting the statute. The state of the law was this, as Congress perceived it, as shown exhaustively by the legislative history, that this court had not definitively ruled whether or not custody cases were subject to full faith and credit. States had commenced adopting UCCJA, Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Act, on a voluntary basis. At the time the federal legislation was originally suggested, only about 19 of the states had adopted the Uniform Act, and the states that had not adopted the act were still, in the language of the legislative history, havens for child snatchers. As the PKPA progressed through congressional hearings, more and more states adopted UCCJA, so that at the time of the adoption of PKPA, nearly all the states had adopted UCCJA. Now, all have adopted it. So Congress was looking at this legislative history. They were concerned about states that had not adopted UCCJA being, admittedly, havens for child snatchers. Secondly, the language of the statute itself, as the full faith and credit statute itself provides, is directed not at parties, but in this instance, directed at the appropriate state authorities, not courts, as in full faith and credit. All of the language of PKPA is directed at state authorities and what they shall and they shall not do. The statutory scheme was this. Originally, it was proposed to exempt parental kidnapping from the Lindbergh kidnapping statute. Congress reacted to that. The federal court should not be in federal parental kidnapping cases. The Wallop proposal came along originally with three proposals. Number one, to impose federal jurisdictional standards on the state in custody cases. Secondly, to make the parent locator service, the federal parent locator service, available not to parties, but the language says to the states. Make the federal locator service available to the states to locate kidnapping parents and kidnapped children, and the third was to make it a federal offense to kidnap your child in violation of a proper court judgment. The third prong is the one that received most of the attention. All the courts and the legislative history is full of the letter from Assistant Attorney General Wald, in which the Justice Department opposed it, the FBI opposed it, HEW opposed it. They did not want the federal courts involved in, to this extent, in this process. So it was, as the sponsors time and time again talk about, a delicate balance between solving a problem which was a legitimate federal interest and a minimum of federal intervention in what is traditionally a pure state affair, custody cases. The federal judiciary doesn't want to be involved, nor should it be involved in custody cases. So a committee, the final resolution was that instead of the third prong of the three-prong legislation being a federal offense, that the Federal Fugitive Act would be made applicable to cases in which a child was taken by a parent from one state to another state in violation of a proper custody award entered in accordance with PKPA, so that under the federal statute, the party could be brought back and prosecuted under state law. So as the sponsors themselves said, not in connection with the rejection of the Fish Amendment, which is a different proposition, in which Senator Cranston, for example, said, by reserving the federal role to the creation of a federal parent locator service, an FBI investigation after a sufficient lapse of time, we hold federal interference to a minimum. And it's very clear from an extensive legislative history that, right or wrong, that Congress deliberately made a deliberate decision to limit the federal interference in the process to these two things, making the use of the federal parent locator service, which at that time was available only for child support purposes, not custody purposes, and secondly, to permit the use of the federal fugitive statute in custody cases. Professor Coombs, who wrote most of this legislation and assisted a great deal in its formulation, said that the legislation in it shows a respect for the proper division of roles between the state and the federal government and between civil and criminal approaches to the problem. In the exchange between Mr. Connors and Representative Fish, who had introduced a bill, there were two bills pending, to confer diversity jurisdiction on federal district courts in custody cases so that a federal district court could enforce a valid custody award. And in that exchange, the differing approaches and the deliberate congressional restraint is very obvious. Mr. Connors, actually, Mr. Bennett, that's PKPA, Mr. Bennett would impose the obligation on state courts, and you would require federal courts to give full faith and credit to the decision. And again, we would be imposing the responsibility of the enforcement upon the state courts. Now, what could be clearer with respect to congressional intent when Congress is presented with the contrary proposal that federal courts be granted, I grant you it was not federal question jurisdiction, but diversity jurisdiction, and they expressly rejected it, saying at the same time, it is our purpose to impose the enforcement of PKPA on the state courts, not the federal courts, as you, Mr. Fish, would have it. And in the statutory scheme to explicitly limit the federal participation to the use of the federal parent locator service and the use of the Federal Fugitive Act for the purposes of doing what? To assist the states in their enforcement of PKPA, to allow them, when they have issued a valid custody decree under the PKPA federal standards, to go to the Federal Parent Locator Service and request that the kidnapping parent and the abducted child be located, and when located, to then be able to have the FBI to bring the abducting parent back for prosecution in the state court. And that whole statutory scheme is obvious in the legislative history of PKPA. Nowhere, I suggest, has any commentator or court said that the state courts have not performed their constitutional duty in enforcing the full faith and credit clause. And this is a form of full faith and credit. It's an addendum to full faith and credit. Congress, many years ago, made a deliberate decision that the implementing statute to the full faith and credit clause of the federal constitution would impose the obligation of enforcing the act, statutes, and so forth of another state on the state judicial systems, not on the federal judicial system. And this court and the other courts on many occasions have concurred in that deliberate decision. The decision of Congress in PKPA is the same kind of careful, deliberate decision, that there was a problem that needed to be addressed by the federal legislative branch. And it addressed it in a very careful and a very deliberate and a very balancing manner between the federal intervention and what is traditionally a state, you know, just uniquely a state problem. Custody is. It is not just traditionally, but by its very nature, is a state problem. And Congress has made that very deliberate decision. What happens if federal courts get involved? It's been suggested by Flood versus Bratton, which is the Third Circuit case that holds there is federal jurisdiction, that federal courts need not get involved in the underlying custody issues in order to resolve conflicting jurisdictional assertions by states. I suggest that that may reflect not a sophisticated understanding of custody cases, because, as has been pointed out by the District of Columbia Circuit in their very recent Rogers versus Platt, that's the very thing the district court in the District of Columbia had to do in order to resolve a conflict between the District of Columbia court and a California state court. It had to determine factual issues that go to the question of custody. In the present case, Louisiana recognized and enforced the California decree, but suspended the visitation rights of Dr. Thompson because of physical cruelty by Dr. Thompson to his son occurring in Louisiana during the exercise of a visitation privilege. That is permissible both under UCCJA and PKPA. Professor Coombs, whom I've quoted in my brief on the subject, says there's concurrent jurisdiction. Whether there's jurisdiction or not jurisdiction in Louisiana in this case is going to depend upon whether Dr. Thompson did what we claimed he did, and therefore whether Louisiana correctly exercised jurisdiction under what's been called the emergency provisions of both UCCJA and PKPA. So courts are necessarily going to get involved in the underlying, undergirding factual issues with reference to custody in order to determine which court has jurisdiction under PKPA. Another consideration is, and I've asserted it in brief and assert it again, this Honorable Court's decision in Webb versus Webb and its thoughtful analysis of why state remedies ought to be exhausted before this court is called upon to resolve federal issues in what are basically state causes of action. The questions of comity, maintenance of a delicate balance between federal and state judicial systems, and more importantly, the opportunity for state courts to perform their duty, and the suggestion that state courts as a system will not perform their constitutional duty, I think is reprehensible. There's no suggestion in this case that Louisiana courts will not perform their duty. In fact, I've cited a case in which I lost under almost the identical facts in which a state court enforced PKPA to my client's detriment. Louisiana courts will do their duty. State courts will do their constitutional duty. The opportunity for state courts to develop the record. The Court of Appeal in this case footnotes time after time the incomplete nature of the record. The state courts ought to have the opportunity to develop the record. To decide, for example, the case on a non-federal ground. These cases are quite frequently decided by state courts on non-federal grounds, not PKPA. A state court may say, under our version of UCCJA, we have no jurisdiction to modify a Texas decree or a New Jersey decree and so forth, and the matter will never get into the federal courts because it's been decided on a state ground. All of this, of course, reduces the workload of the federal judicial system, which is a consideration, may not be the paramount consideration. I recognize in this case that Dr. Thompson, in brief, has argued it would be useless for me to go to Louisiana, that it's hostile territory. I don't believe it's hostile territory. Our courts administer justice as do the state systems of other states. And I think particularly appropriate is the opinion of this court in Texaco, in which this court said that it did not, when a litigant hasn't presented his federal claims to a state court, the federal court should assume that state procedures will afford an adequate remedy in the case in the absence of unambiguous authority to the contrary. Remember, Dr. Thompson has not made the first attempt to enforce his California decree in Louisiana. The only thing he did was try to, with an armed accomplice, come to Louisiana and try to kidnap his boy instead of following judicial procedures. bring an action on his California decree in the state of Louisiana. It doesn't come with great grace to say, Louisiana won't give me a fair shake until he has come to Louisiana and seen what kind of a shake that he's going to do. Secondly, Rogers versus Platt has pointed up an argument which we have advanced as to the peculiar nature of the jurisdiction asserted here. All of the circuits that hold their jurisdiction concede that there's no jurisdiction to enforce a state custody decree in the first instance. They all concede that because Congress specifically rejected that proposal, the Fish proposal. They say that Congress intended to confer jurisdiction only when there's two conflicting state custody decrees. That's quasi-appellate jurisdiction. State A, State B, a federal district court decides which one is correct as a matter of federal law. It's an appellate jurisdiction being asserted by a federal district court. And at no time, with the one exception of criminal habeas corpus, has Congress ever even expressly granted to federal district courts appellate jurisdiction over state court judgments. That appellate jurisdiction rests in this court and this court alone. Does the court have any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Rigby. Mr. Weiss, you have 2 minutes remaining. You're not required to expend them, however.
Thank you. Chief Justice,
The case is submitted.